back to the Beatitudes. This is my Bible. What? This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. And I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to go back to the Beatitudes today. And it says, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And we talked about how if you're bankrupt in your spirit, you have total and complete access to the kingdom of God. He's ready to help you today in your area of need. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Miss Thelma told me this week as she lost her partner for life, she said, you know, I didn't know the sermon Sunday would be specifically for me. But this last Sunday, she said, was my sermon time. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And she said, so I appreciate the timeliness of the Holy Spirit. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And we'll look at this blessing today. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, not for stupid sake or mean sake, but for righteous sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So today we want to look at the problem where he says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And we got a couple of live illustrations today we want to show you. We're putting live illustrations with each one of these from the Bible. But let me just say this about meekness. We talked a little bit in the hallway with Jim and Marlene this morning. We usually visit a little while. We get here early for doing our duties and greeting and prayer and stuff. And he says, the meek shall inherit the earth. And I told him, you know, there's a little process maybe that goes on here about, you know, the meek. We think about it as maybe when the new heavens and the new earth and all that is here, that maybe that's the time they'll inherit the earth. And maybe that's so because there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. But I think this part goes for now. I think the Bible is not in future times and for future blessings, and some of it is. We lay up treasure in heaven, and so those are a part of future blessings. But I think there's a part today that says for the meek, for those that'll put this body under control, this temperament, this whatever that flares up, if we'll put it under control, we have a promise that we have an inheritance here on earth. And I said, if the meek inherits the earth, the next earth coming, I probably won't be a part of that number. I'm working on it, but that is not my personality. How many of you say that's not your personality? If the meek inherits the earth, you may be somewhere else. That's what I'm thinking. But I am working on it, and I'm a lot more meek than I used to be. I pay a lot more attention to saying things in a godly, God-honoring way than what I used to, because I know that there's a lot of battles you don't have to fight if we'll take on the spirit of meekness. Now, if you're one that's always fighting a battle, probably a part of your problem is not being meek. Listen, you may think it's those people around you. I don't know why it is, but just like everybody around me is just always on my case. The clue phone's ringing, pick it up, it's you. Because I'm telling you, people around you are just like people around me and Randy, and we're not always in chaos, right? Not always. In fact, I found this out. When you become meek, I found this out. The battle is no longer in here, it's out there. I love that. I've grown to a place in my life where the battle is very, if it's in here, it's for a short season, because there's benefits, and I'll read you some of the benefits of being meek, because there's a lot of them in there, and I'll read you a few in this message today. But there's a lot of benefits and a lot of privileges that the meek have that the rest of us don't have. And so I just want you to know that if we're not meek, it's going to cost us. It's going to cost us in battles and blessings and all kinds of things. And so when I think he's talking about the earth, I'll show you a couple of live things here, but examples. But I think it's more than just property. I think it's the space around you. This planet, you know, everybody's been given a sphere of influence and a thing that we run in for the most part of our life. And I think I truly believe that it means not only the geographical place will be given to you. And for some of you struggling to get more in the area of real estate and nicer and bigger, you know what? He says, if you'll humble yourself and line up with His will and His Word, that won't be a struggle either. You don't have to struggle to get that. You don't have to struggle to get your way. You know, sometimes we get our feelings hurt. Anybody ever got your feelings hurt? Maybe you got your feelings hurt this week somewhere. I got a saying on my desk and it says, get over it. That shows you my mercy gift. In fact, it's kind of comical because the first, I don't even know where I found it or I think I bought it. Maybe somebody gave it to me. Did somebody give it to me? Oh, some are saying somebody gave it to me. Anyway, I put it on my desk, and the first week I did it, a brother came into my office and thought I brought it because of him, because he had some kind of grievance or something. I defended him or something. And he said, and he later shared with me, he said, I saw that on there right after I was offended. I thought you got that for me. I said it was for you. Evidently it was for you. But I didn't buy it for him. And some of you that think, you know, and you're always upset about stuff, listen, there's a connection here for you today that says you need to put on a humble spirit. And really you can interchange those two, meek and humble. It really go together. The best definition I ever heard of meek was this: strength under control. Strength under control. And I love that. I think that should be in the dictionary, really. I think that's the most appropriate definition of meekness or humble I've ever heard in my life. And I think they really should change that. I'll write them later, I guess. Greek says to be mild or humble. That's the definition that gives from the definition of meek here. But strength under control. And let's look at a couple examples. Go with me to Genesis, the 13th chapter. Genesis 13. And we'll show you a classic example. This is the first one I thought about. And as I studied and searched for something better, I couldn't really find anything better than this example about the meek inheriting the earth. And the battle being out here instead of in here. Listen, church, there's a place we can get to, and most of us won't reach the height of it, but we can reach parts of it where the terrible battle is no longer in here and in here, but it's out there. I'm going to tell you something about death. Miss Thelma knows now that there's a lot of things that really don't matter anymore. That's what we realize. I've seen this death time after time. As families lose a close loved one, they realize that a lot of things they used to think was something, they're nothing. Or as we say here in Oklahoma, they ain't nothing. You know, and so that's a good part of what death does to us. It puts in perspective what's really important. And when we put on the spirit of meekness, and by the way, the Bible says put it on. You know, God doesn't slap meekness on you. Now, He will give us trials and tests to help us become meek, but He doesn't put that on you. Kind of like your children. You can discipline your children, but you can't put meek on your children. You can discipline and you can make them stay in a boundary and all at your house, but you cannot put meekness on your child. And for some of you that your little kids are just a dominant personality, you don't need to try to put meekness on them. You're not going to do it. They're not geared that way. So the best thing you can do is channel their aggressive little attitudes into good things and turn it into good energy. And so they're doing something positive and quit trying to, you know, break their spirit, so to speak, because this is not going to happen for them. I was a very strong-willed child, and I wasn't a dominant personality as far as being mean or unkind. But if I wanted something and I had to have my mind fixed on something, that's where I was headed. And unless it was just, they just told me with a whipping or something, then this is what I'm doing, you know. And they teach me what's right and wrong and keep me in those boundaries. And so my parents was like, if it's moral and ethical, if Jack's headed that way, just let Jack do his thing, you know. And it worked really well for me to be who I am. And Dad let me fall sometimes and make mistakes and stuff. But it really, he's just a great dad in helping me with those boundaries and say, well, you can, son. But, you know, when I got married, he says, well, you know, you're going to have to quit school. Never missed a beat. He was sitting there eating watermelon when I told him I'm going to marry Jana. He said, well, you can. You have to quit school. Never missed a beat. You know, he didn't choke and just calm and collective. And he knew. I was very, very young, but he knew I was very, very determined and I was going to do this. And so then he helped me. He helped me in a thing that he thought wasn't really good for me at this time because he knew I was going to. And so I'm just saying you can't put this on people, and we can't put it, God won't slap it on you, but if you'll put it on, if you'll get up, put meekness on in situations where it could be you'd like to push, and you'd like to get back in the face, I'm telling you, this is what he's getting to today, is if you'll put on this meekness, you'll have less battles, and God will be more present in your life, and he will fight your battles for you. And how many knows he's a better fighter than you? God's got long arms, and he can box really hard. See, some of us think we don't trust God because we think if we become meek in a situation, our enemies are going to win. Those that are opposing us or pressing us, we think they're going to get the upper hand. And all the time God said, no, 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 no. If you'll be meek, I will bless what you have. How many knows if you have something and God blesses it, but it's not as much as somebody over here had, and you could have had that, you still got the better deal because you've got what God has touched. Are you with me? I'm telling you, we need to learn those truths because that is a blessing. You can have a lot of stuff, and if it's come because of your aggressiveness and your determination and your scrounging and your clawing and stuff, and you can have a lot of stuff, and you'll find out like the rich young ruler, you don't have stuff. Stuff has you. Nothing wrong with stuff if we let God do it. This is what Abraham was up against when he came in. Genesis chapter 13, verse 7. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's livestock and the herdmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So Abraham says to Lot, and for you that may not know, Abraham is Lot's uncle. And he's kind of adopted him and taken him with him and really made him everything that he is. Be like if your rich uncle took you in and give you a little cattle start or a little start in business and watched you prosper along with him and made you everything you are. That's what Uncle Abraham was to Lot. So everything he's got is because of Uncle Abraham. Are you with me? That's kind of how it is. And so we'll be Uncle Abraham for a while, okay? We'll put ourselves in his shoes. And so he says, Abraham said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me, between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Now, how many knows, as the patriarch of that part of the country, in fact, he had an army that could go out and rescue people, 318 soldiers, I believe the Bible says, whenever he needed them, you know, of really people that worked for him. So it's a huge operation. So he could have said, young Lot, let me tell you something. You need to take your herd and go somewhere because this is my land. This is what I've done and I've created. And I don't want to snuff out what you're doing, son. But you need to do something. Your men are getting a little chesty with mine, and don't forget where your blessings come from. He could have had that attitude, but he didn't because he knew in his heart he put on the meekness. He put it on. And I want you to watch the blessings of God. And so he says, in verse 9, is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left. Isn't that a great way to look at it? Isn't that a great... I mean, there's plenty here, and we don't have to fight. And you get a pick. You get to choose. See, sometimes when we're trying to scratch and claw for our best, it might be a blessing just to, you know what, let somebody else choose and take what's left with the blessings of God and the peace of God which passes understanding. That's worth a lot, isn't it? And said, Lot lifted up his eyes and he saw all the plains of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go to Zorah. And then Lot chose for himself what? The best part. Now, I don't know about you, but about that time, I would have been thinking, well, you little rascal. I mean, be honest and say, that's what I'd been thinking. Or, you know. And that's a clean version, isn't it? That's a clean version. I've raised you. I've made you everything you are. And you're, you know, here are the plains and all the water, and you picked that one for yourself. You know, he could have said, you know, Uncle Abe, man, you've given me everything. No, you just choose. You choose. I'm not going to do this. I'm unworthy. You know, if it wasn't for you, I'd have nothing. But you know what? When people don't say that and you're offering, we have to deal with stuff like this. You know, it could be as simple as a dinner and somebody takes the biggest steak, the one you wanted. You know, here's a simple little petty. It's petty, really, but, you know, sometimes I'm petty. How about you? My name's Jack. Sometimes I'm petty. I'm confessing right now. When Jan and I started eating, we eat out a lot. So when we started, this has been several years ago, we started sharing dinner meals. We always share meals. Some of our friends, when they go out with us, like, why don't you just get your own meal once in a while? And once in a while we do. Olive Garden, we like kind of different things. But most of the time, we just share a meal. And I thought it was so funny. Probably one of you in here was eating with, but whoever was eating with, and I do remember who it was, and said, well, we would share, but he would eat it all. You know who you are. And I thought that was the first thing we had to deal with when we started sharing meals, And so finally it dawned on me one day. I'm usually a bigger eater than she is, but my wife eats very little during the day. I mean, she eats a little bit of cereal in the morning, and then she'll have a banana or something for lunch, and then the dinner meal is just pretty wide open to her. So she eats about like a man for dinner. I'm sure she'd be glad for me to share that with you all. But you can tell by the way she looks. She keeps it all in balance. But that was my first thought when we started doing that. And then it came to me, you know what? If I'm not full, I can order something else. Just slow down. And I do this. Really, I trained myself to do it. Just take a bite or two, and I'll put my fork down. You know, some of us think we have to arm ourselves the whole meal. You know, just until it's gone. Yeah, you can just... And just, I'm trying to enjoy, you know, I started trying to learn how. And that's petty, isn't it? It's little, but it's something that I thought about. It goes back to this meekness thing and saying, you know what? It's anything we do, we always need to be careful because we're going to claw for the best for number one. That's just in us. That's in our sin nature to always want what's best for us. If we're dividing something up, if we're buying something at the mall, you know, and we teach our kids, from little bit, they got this, they got that, you know, and it's just, we called my granddaughter the other day, and we put money in their account for the ones that's overseas, because we can't be there, and Talon is probably, what, nine years old, and we put his money, we just put it in our son's checking, and so we're talking to him, and I said, be sure and tell Haley, you know, Papa's putting money in her account, and he said, oh, man, I said, what, I said, she'll get to spend it all on her. They already paid for her birthday party. Oh, man. That's a blessing. You know, it's a blessing to his sister. Why is he? Because it wasn't about him, you know. And I guess according to him and according to his daddy, the stories change, you know, about what they spend the money on. But it's for them. It's, you know, it goes for them. But that's the way we are. And all I'm saying is from a little bitty thing. But we have to learn as adults, we need to get over that and put on the spirit of meekness. And somebody else's blessing or somebody else we're looking for the same thing, you know, give them the benefit to take the better half. You know what I'm saying? It's a spirit. And that spirit will follow us in every other thing that we do. So a young Lot lifts his eyes, verse 10, and all the plain of Jordan is well watered everywhere before the Lord. And then verse 11, then Lot chose for himself the plain of Jordan. Lot journeyed east and they separated from each other. So here he is and he's, you know, you can tell where he's at spiritually. It's not in a good place. And here's what happens when we're not in a good place. We take things that look good. We take things that look better than they are. The plains look good, but there's something lurking in the plains that's not lurking where Abraham is. It's called Sodom and Gomorrah. And I'll tell you something, there's a principle in here we need to get a hold of, because sometimes when we think we've got the upper hand and we've got the better deal, if it's not with the right attitude and the right heart, we have not got the better deal. God tells the people when he's talking about giving, he said, you know, if you don't give, he said, you'll have purses with holes in them. I just believe this. I believe if we're good givers, then God will stretch the dollar you have and increase your blessings in every area. Yeah. And so you just need to be a good giver of every area of your life. You know, when it comes to sharing or, you know, at the stoplight and you're being courteous. Every area of your life, just to be courteous and be put on the spirit of meekness. It'll just make a better you. And some people, and I've watched friends of mine that just claw and, you know, and they're wanting the, you know, if it's their turn to go next in line and somebody gets in line, oh, God forbid. Hey, I was here. You know, and I'll confess, I have to fight that because I think if I'm waiting, because I hate lines. How many hates lines? Everybody raise their hands. Help them, Lord, to love lines. You know. Or at least I tolerate lines now. And you know my policy. I've got a book. I'll open my book and I'll read, and so I've just learned to do things because I'm not a patient person. And Jana's helped me in that area. You know, she'll yank my little chain and stuff and help me. But we have to put on the meekness. We have to put it on because we're going to always want our turn, our whatever it is. And to put that on and stop those kind of battles, that is so freeing. It is. It is so freeing. How many has ever been to the McDonald's line? You go around and there's two intercoms, right? And so at some of them, they bottleneck where you can sit right in the middle and wait and see which one goes first. How many are setters? You just sit right there. And you think, I'm sitting right here until the line moves. And then the line moves. I've done that, and then I'll set up and I'll pull up, you know, where the ones I think is the quickest, and it'll be the longest order, and they get to go ahead of me anyway. I think that's good, don't you? It's a lesson from Jesus. Come on, be a little more meek. Quit clawing for everything. Quit scratching for everything. You know, let me bless you. You know, enjoy where you're at in the car. You've got a nice car with air conditioner. You could be sitting here in the heat. And some of you maybe are sitting there in the heat because your air don't work. Well, enjoy the heat.